I feel like what I've got to say now, a few comments, are going to be very important. I thought about maybe shutting it down and just saving it for another time, but I think about some of the folks that are here, some of the ones that have been saved for just a little while, and this message here has to do with the two natures of the Christian, life of the Christian, and I think it's real important this time we have a little instruction along these particular lines. All right, Romans chapter 7 now, verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law of sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was in that which is good made death unto me, God forbid. But sin that might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. This passage, Romans chapter 7. If you think anything about the Word of God, you think of Romans chapter 7, you think about the two natures. You ought to have that on your mind, and I guess every Christian, you ought to have some idea of what different chapters deal with in the Word of God. You take, for example, the survey course I teach at Maslin. Over there, you get my idea of what's in various chapters, various and sundry chapters coming on through. And for example, Romans chapter 1, the Gentiles in a mess, they're guilty. Romans chapter number 2, the Jews in a mess, they're guilty. Romans chapter 3, the world's in a mess, guilty. All the world's guilty before God. But in spite of their sin, in spite of their ugly ungodliness, yet there's a chance of being righteous in God's sight. And there's the offer of justification, the Bible says, to all that believe. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is, he's the propitiation. He's the payment that satisfies both parties. And listen, because of that, the Bible says, you and I, we can be justified. You know, we get thinking about the thing, we think about righteousness, and I like the idea, the choir sang the song this morning, only a sinner saved by grace. That's all we are. We're nobody around here. I don't want you to ever think you're somebody. You're nobody. You're less than that. It's only by the unmatched grace of God that we're saved today. But anyhow, in spite of the fact that we're guilty, yet the Lord has been able to justify us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's declared us just, and he's just in doing that. The payment's been made. The law has been established. Romans chapter number 4, illustration of justification. Old Testament illustration is Abraham, especially verses 1 to 4, all through the chapter. Abraham over and over again, illustration of justification, the imputed righteousness given to the believer, and he's justified simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter number 5 are the benefits of justification. What do you have? You and I, we have peace with God. That's a fabulous benefit. You ever stop and think, you and I, we are blessed. We are blessed to no end. Peace with God. Why, listen, they're going crazy out in the world. They're filling the insane asylums up. They can't build enough of them. You know why? Because people don't know what peace is all about. Peace with God. They get them in the group therapy sessions. That don't do it. I mean, they get in there and say, I did this. No, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Everybody says, I'm not too bad. But that doesn't remove the guilt, see? And the peace. No peace there. No peace to the wicked, saith my God. You got to get that thing under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we have peace with God. And the Bible says not only that, we have access to God. The Bible says not only that, we have hope as far as God's concerned. The Bible says we have confidence. And we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Chapter number 6, how to get victory over the flesh. How do you do it? Well, the Bible says you need to know some things, reckon some things, and yield. Know what? Know the old man is crucified with Christ. Jesus Christ nailed to the cross. You, my friend, when you get in Jesus Christ, you are technically, the Bible says, nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, verse number 6, other verses in Romans chapter 6, let you know the old man is crucified with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you and I are supposed to reckon it so. What does it mean by that? I mean, if the old man's crucified, then you and I are supposed to realize that is true. And when the old man begins to rise up, and the old man says, I want it! I desire it! I gotta have it! You say, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You know what I mean? Being crucified and being dead is one thing. I mean, the Bible says we're that way. And the Bible says you're to reckon that thing to be dead. Somebody says, well, I've overcome that thing pretty well. Well, listen, it doesn't say that you reckon yourself to be the old man to be weak. But dead! It doesn't have any dominion over you anymore. And so you ought to be able to live for God and yield your members as instruments of righteousness under God. That's Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 7, some discoveries, some disappointments, some distinct laws. Basically dealing with the new nature. You get thinking about discoveries, and most of the time they're exciting. You know, we get thinking about all things we like to discover. Somebody says, I'd like to go out on the seashore somewhere and get my old thing Harold Welch got back there and go out through there and discover some old coins. I like to find some ship down about in the sea. I like to discover this. I like to cash in here. Boy, I like to go out to Arizona. I like to go out to Colorado. I like to find some gold. I like to find some silver. I like to find this. I like to find that. Discovery, sometimes they're a blessing. Sometimes they're a curse. I'm thankful I don't know everything that's going on these days. Listen, if there are some things that, if I knew everything was going on in relation to the members of this church, I'd probably turn gray by next Sunday. Probably would. I'm thankful God shields me from a lot that goes on. I don't worry about bird dogging my people. The Bible says the bishop, he's an overseer there, so I just, I oversee. Sometimes I sit down and enjoy the services there, and sometimes I sit up here and look around. I just sort of measure temperature and see how things are going, see who's got the victory and see who's dragging around, and see who needs a blessing, see who needs rebuke and things of that nature. And I just sort of weigh temperature a little bit, and I don't bird dog folks. I don't have to. I mean, stuff always comes out. You get to hear plenty, and more than what you need to know, and I don't really relish some discoveries, huh? You know, there's some sort of blessing to you. You take, for example, that thing about Columbus, he discovered America. I'm glad of that. That's a blessing. I'm glad I'm American tonight. I am. I'm glad I live in America. I'd rather be in America than Canada, Mexico, England, France, Germany. You name it. I'm glad I'm American tonight. I don't think America's the most sanctified thing in the world. There may be even other countries a little bit better. I'm thankful for America. I'm thankful for folks, and I'm thankful for the freedom of speech that we still have. I'm thankful, Lord, for the freedom of press that we have. I thank the Lord for all the freedom we still have in this country. Maybe we don't have as much of what we had. We got more than we got in other countries. We can still do a job, folks. We get busy about the thing. I'm very thankful to be an American. I say that unashamedly. I say that. I don't care what you think or anybody else thinks. I'm thankful to be an American tonight. I think about some other discoveries, and of course there's the old steam engine, 1769. Watts, he discovered that thing, how to run that thing, get that old steam built up and get something moving there, and I'm glad he did that, and you and I'm glad we got automobiles and gasoline engines and various types of engines. I'm glad they've been discovered and got that thing all refined down now, run all a little gasoline, go down to gas station and take that thing out and take that thing off the pump air and squeeze that trigger and fill her up and run on down the highway for another couple 300 miles, and I'm glad about all that stuff. I'm sort of glad we got telephones. What was his name? Alexander Bell? Bell. That there fellow, he discovered the telephone, you know, 1876, how to work that thing. And, it's good to talk to my daughter. She's 1,000 miles away and she calls sometimes. She's feeling bad and she'll just want to talk to Dad. And I just talk away, you know, we just chat for a while and pay an $8 or $9 bill, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, a lot cheaper than buying the gas, you know. I sort of enjoy discoveries like that. I mean, they can be a blessing. They can be a curse. You take that telephone, that thing can be a curse. Some of your busybodies, you know, that thing's a curse to you. You gotta watch those things. The devil take things to be a blessing, he turn that thing into a curse. You take light bulbs. In 1878, a fellow by the name of Edison, he discovered the incandescent light bulb and how to get that thing going, you know, no candles anymore. I'm glad we got them. I guarantee you, I'm glad. These old eyes of mine are getting kind of foggy, you know, and I think when Pop, gets his next operation about April, I might well say, get me another bed, get me a bed too, Pop, I'll go in with you. If there's something I could do, man, I probably would. And so I appreciate the light, and I'm glad we can meet here in the evening time, and we don't have to just, meet in the afternoon. If we don't get done by dark, we'll light up a candle. I've had that happen before. Went down south of town, and preaching a meeting one time, preaching a couple nights of a meeting, and I went down there, and a big old storm had hit. And that place down south of town, it had flooded, man, and you couldn't hardly get to the place. We got down there, didn't have anything but candles there. And it just so happened that night, I sort of knew what I was going to say. And I got up there with candlelight, I couldn't see anything. I just got up there and let her go, you know. But I appreciate the lights, and I don't always know what I'm going to say. I need a few notes, need to read the Word of God sometime. And so I appreciate that sort of stuff. I tell you what I'm most thankful for. I'm thankful to discover the printing press. Yes. You know, 1440 old Gutenberg man, he found out how to get that movable type going. And 1452, they put him a Bible together. Boy, listen, you and I, we can be thankful. That Word of God, man, it's been coming out. It's been being published. That thing is not bound. That thing's run all the streets. You can run downtown and get your copy of the Scriptures. You can run over here and get your copy of the Scriptures. Run up to some church over here and get your copy of the Scriptures. Go up to ABT up there and get your copy of the Scriptures. Man, you can get a Bible anywhere. I'm thankful somebody discovered how to print the Word of God, get the Word of God in print. Doesn't have to be copied. Get that thing out like it is. I'm thankful for some discoveries. Now, the discoveries you and I need to know from the Word of God, this passage here, to begin with, you need to discover the fact that law is not sin. Everybody wants to fight the law of God. Everybody, they don't want part of the law of God. Everybody acts like the law of God is sin. Everybody acts like God tells you not to do something, my friend. Listen, they act like that's wrong. They act like that's sin. They act like God don't know what He's talking about. They act like it's a matter of choice. You know, they act like, well, I can take my choice. You take your choice, but you destroy yourself. Amen. That law is not sin. That law is holy and just, and the commandment is good. And the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting a soul. And you'd be wise, my friend, to realize that law is not sin. The law is put together as a benefit to you. That law, the Bible says it reveals sin. It's not sin. It reveals sin. It uncovers your stink. It uncovers your smell. It uncovers your dirt. It uncovers your filth. It uncovers your dirty heart. It uncovers it. That's the law, and that's why you don't like it. The Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Don't kid me, friend. The reason you don't approach the Word of God and have no delight in the Word of God, because that Bible has got your number. That Bible has you tagged head to foot, inside and outside. That Bible's got you. That law simply is reveal sin. The Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Man gets around the Word of God a little while, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't go into the thing blind. He doesn't go into the thing with blinders on. He knows exactly what he's going to do. You know why? God tells him how it's going to go. Now think about that book that they had over in that high school that my son had. Listen, there are no pros and cons to sin. There are no pros to some sin. You take those sins like that, alternate lifestyles. Can you imagine such a thing as that? I mean, can you imagine lesbianism? Can you imagine homosexuality? Can you imagine swapping wives and somebody telling you the pros and cons? There ain't no pros to it. There are none at all. I'll tell you what, I'll get somebody like that, get a teacher like that. If anything makes me fighting mad, taking the kids, taking young kids, bad enough they want to die and go to hell or self. Bad enough they want to tear up their own home. But why? Start kids off in the wrong track. Well, I'll tell you what. Makes me boil. Makes me boil. When I see what I see as far as schools are going, as far as that stuff's going, 10 years ago I went over there and talked to that principal. I said, look, here's a girl coming to your school that we've been having a hard enough time getting her interested in the Word of God, and she just getting interested in the Word of God, and you bring you an ungodly doctor in and make statements like he made and use words like he used and make gestures like he used, you got to reset. The guy told me to go down and see the head of the school board, and I went down and seen him. And they excused the thing off. Passed the thing off. And said they didn't know what happened. Find out what's happening. And destroying your kids. Destroying your kids. Brother and sister, I'll tell you the dying truth. When it comes to sin like that, there are no pros to it. I mean, the steps are all down. It's down, down, down all the way. There's no going up or no cons of that thing. Man, I'll tell you what, that thing is down all the way. You read Proverbs, the Bible says that kind of thing takes you down to hell. Somebody gets on that track, man takes hold of those kind of paths, the Bible says none, they don't return again, they're gone, they're shot, they're wiped out. And they've ruined our young people. Sick thinking. Sick thinking. I can't imagine it. I can't even imagine it. I mean, if they weren't even saved, they ought to have better sense than that. I don't think common sense would have no better than that. What's the matter with these people? Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. That Bible says what that thing does, it arouses sin. Here's somebody just fooling around, dabbling around in sin. Here's somebody, well, they going on. And the Bible says, rot me all manner of concupiscence. Here's somebody, their desires were no good. Here's somebody, their desires were all sensual. Here's somebody, all they have is a sensual appetite, and all they want is sex and more sex and different kinds of sex and sin on top with sin. And the Bible says that law roused that thing and showed your brother how dirty and rotten and vile it is. Ain't nothing wrong with the law. That old law is holy. That old law is perfect. When God says you shouldn't do something, I'm going to guarantee it's the old safe. Friend, you better not do it. You better not do it. I've got a bone to pick with Accent Publications. I'm going to pick it. I already done picked it one time. I'm going to pick it again. I instructed those Sunday school teachers about a year ago, do you watch every piece of material comes in this church? Because I don't appreciate anything that comes in here that's not King James Bible, and I don't want one bit of it ever taught or get in the hands of our kids. I appreciate my sister, Linda Knight. Bless her heart, she come up to me with a take-home paper and said, Brother Martin, here's a problem right here. What should I do? I said, out, out. I wrote to him and I said, what's this business? You tell me we can have confidence in your materials here, King James Bible, and no reservation there, and we can have confidence in us. What's going on? The guy wrote me a letter right back. And he says, look, he says, that take-home paper, he says, we use that just a convenience for your churches. He says, we don't publish that thing. We have no control over the thing. And he says, you can use our materials with confidence. Ron Rock told me this morning, he went and passed out material to his kids. And he took a look at that thing and said, let me have them back. Ten Commandments. Ye shall not have any other gods, only me. That ain't the way I learned it.
Right.
Commandment number 2, do not make any graven images or worship them. It's not the way I learned that either. Commandment number 3, do not use my name as a swear word. And one after one, that thing is weak. That thing is worthless. Give honor to your mother and father. Do not murder anyone. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not tell lies. Do not wish that you had what your neighbor has. You know what I say about it? Right there. You know what I say about it? You know what I say about all the material? In heaven, I want it. And the man's going to get him a letter tomorrow. He's going to get him a letter. Say, fella, I don't appreciate that stuff. You told me we could use your materials with confidence. Brother, I'm telling you, I want something that tells me yes and no. I want something that says black or white. I want something that says, now lie to your sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. Brother, I want something to tell me the truth and put it in no uncertain terms. I don't want no leadway. I don't want the kids of this church ever thinking there's any leadway. Because there ain't none. There ain't none. You say, you can't stop me. You're right. Don't forget what God said about that thing is true. It's going to hold true. Well, you get away from me. Well, you get away from somebody else. You can leave this church and say, I don't ever want to hear Brother Martin preach again. I'm never going to come back to this church again. But brother, I'm telling you, you can't get outside of God. And that law is going to hold. That law is not sin. That law reveals sin. That law says, yeah, good man, you've been messing around with sin. You're just filled with bad desires and a bad appetite. Bad appetite. That law can bring life. Look at verse 9. I was alive without the law once, but when the time came, sin revived, and I died. Look at verse number 10. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Look at verse number 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Look at verse number 13. Was in that which is good made death unto me, death? God forbid, but sin that might appear sin, working death in me, for that which is good that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. That's what it's all about, my friend. That's the law. There ain't nothing wrong with the law. The law is good. It doesn't bring life. It shows you what a mess you are. It shows you how bad you need a Savior. Somebody talking about keeping the commandments as far as salvation is concerned, they're utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. All that law does, it don't bring salvation. It don't bring eternal life. You know what the law does? The law shows you what a mess you are. Shows you better drop on your knees. You better cry out for mercy like you never cried out before. You better come to Almighty God. I mean, like a little old grasshopper in His sight. You better get things right with God. That old Seventh-day Adventist talking one time, this guy come to my house and pulls out his cards. You know, I like somebody to get a Bible. I don't worry about all this junk business. I want to know what the Bible says. And this guy gave me this little card routine, you know, card number 1 is alright, card number 2 it was alright, all the way to number 10, and last thing he said, well, this guy's alright. That lying, cheap guy. Number 10, keep the commandments for salvation. The guy's nuts. In the Word of God, the Bible says, that law, man, simply shows you you're going to die and go to hell, and the wages of sin is death, and it just paints a one horrible picture as far as the law is concerned. 1932, a man by the name of Chadwick discovered neutrons. 32, a man by the name of Anderson discovered positron. 34, a man named Fermi, the use of slow neutrons in atom smashing. 1938, a man by the name of Hahn discovered uranium fission. In 1941, Fermi, the atomic pile for generation of power. And you know the result. 1944, 1945, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, one mess. Nothing wrong with what they discovered. In effect, it's how it was used. Likewise, the Word of God, nothing wrong with it. In fact, it doesn't bring life, friend. It'll condemn you and show you that you need a Savior. Verse number 14, Paul says this. He says in verse number 14, know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I am carnal. What a statement. Sold under sin. What's he talking about? There's a guy saying, I'm a slave to sin. You say, man, he backslid on God. You say, man, maybe he wasn't saved. Maybe he's just a professor, not a possessor. I mean, maybe he didn't have the real thing. Maybe there's something missing. No, there's nothing missing. Paul's just admitting to the fact that I got a problem. Same problem you got today, tonight. What is it? Flesh. That old flesh is no good. I mean, imagine the greatest Christian ever lived said, I am carnal, sold under sin. I'm a slave to sin. He didn't mean that. Shouldn't have said that. Oh, Paul, don't go tell everybody. You might as well. You might as well complain. You might as well admit this is true of you tonight. I am carnal. Got it? What's carnality? Carnality is somebody having a problem with the flesh. You take, for example, in the Bible, whenever that thing shows up, the Bible tells you how it's going to show up several ways. Galatians chapter 5, envyings, murders, drunkenness, adultery, lasciviousness. What's that? Inclined to lust. The Bible talks about variance. What's that? Oh, somebody that always against everything you got going. They're against it. Why? Just get the spotlight. Sometimes they're against it before they even know what the question is. No, what? Yeah. You know what that is? Somebody trying to get spotlight. Emulation. Oh, Brother Martin, what's that? Big old word, emulation? That's somebody that has a jealous rivalry to excel. I appreciate these fellows preaching. Nobody trying out preaching anybody. That's no preaching contest. That's just somebody taking what little bit God's put upon their heart, a little bit of burden God's put on them, and passing the thing on, trying to convey a burden to you. If I find these fellows trying to get in a preaching contest, I shut her down altogether. I'll mess with it for 5 minutes. I don't like it here. I don't like it in preacher's fellowships. I reject it in total. I don't believe in it. I believe God put something on you. Transfer the burden. It's that simple. And you take this business about being carnal, or this business of jealous rivalry to excel. I don't believe in being a loser. I believe in pressing forward, but with a different motive. I believe in pressing forward and sacrificing yourself and sacrificing everything you have and doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, not to get vainglory to yourself. That comes under a heading of the flesh, emulations. How sorry can people be? How sad can Christians be? Always trying to excel. A rivalry, not to excel, but a jealous rivalry to excel. That's the flesh. Bible goes on and talks about strife, sedition. Sedition, what's that? That's somebody always inciting discontent. Somebody always causing you a little trouble. And by the time Christians start getting along with each other and ask somebody to forgive them some of their something they've done against them, get things right, get church in order, and somebody comes around and tries to incite a little bit of trouble here. It's always underhanded. Never comes out in the open. It's always this way. You know, like this. Yeah, seditions. Heresy, what's that? That's taking the Bible, teach something's a lie. False doctrine of the Bible. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible speaks about carnality and says, I couldn't give you any meat. It says, I just had to feed you with milk, and says that you're a bunch of babies and I couldn't give you any meat. And he says, because he says, whereas among you there's envyings and strifes and divisions. He says, you're carnal. You're carnal. Carnal. When I find that kind of thing in a Christian, don't go tell me how spiritual you are. You tell somebody else. Don't bother to tell me. I may not have a lot of sense, but I've got a little sense. And when Paul says, I am carnal, I will guarantee that you and I have got to watch it as far as the flesh is concerned, as far as the carnal mind is concerned. The Bible says that thing is death. You know, I thought about this thing. I thought, you ever consider the I ams of Jesus Christ? I'm the water of life, the bread of life, the resurrection of life, the door, the shepherd, good shepherd, the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life. The I ams of Jesus. You ever think of that? In comparison to the I ams of Paul? You look at that thing there. Verse 14, I am carnal. Greatest Christian ever lived. I mean, there's no comparison between him and the Savior. You look at verse number 24. Verse number 24 says, O wretched man that I am. I got a problem. I got a problem. That old flesh is getting the best of me. That old flesh is tearing me up. I'm tore up inside my heart. Oh, wretched man that I am! And you get on a little bit later there and you find old Paul writing before he bows off the scene there, and he said, this faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What a contrast. Isn't that something? I mean, the Savior and what he says and what he can say and truly say it. I mean, he was very God of very gods, and everything he said, it was so. And Paul coming on as the greatest Christian ever lived and saying, I am carnal, and I'm a wretched man because of my sin. And coming on later on and saying, I'm the chief of sinners. I am. You ever think the I ams of Paul compared to the I ams of Jesus? I wonder where that put the I ams of you and I compared to Paul. You ever think of that? If the greatest Christian ever lived would say that, and knowing how that thing went, and spending time in the Word of God, and living in the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost all over him, and say, I'm carnal! Where would that put you and I? Dirty, rotten, ungodly, filthy, violent sinner. Saved by the grace of God. That's the best you and I can say. Carnality. So you know, you find discovery there, and you find the law is holy and just and good, and the Christian, even though he's saved, is still carnal. And you know what that shows you? That shows you the basic education between the Word of God and a college education. College education say everybody's good. Everybody's good. Pretty good. I believe the good man can sort of, it'll work out all right. It'll get you to heaven. It'll probably be all right. Your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. And the Word of God says the best of you saved people, you ain't no good. You're no good. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. You know, this business here about somebody thinking they're spiritual when the Bible says you're carnal, that's like old Darwin's so-called discovery of the theory of evolution. So-called theory, underline it 15 times, no more than a theory. I got a little tract here a guy gave me yesterday down at Rogers Ironworkers Banquet, breakfast, and it says Darwin's fatal bee sting. This guy has an argument from little old honeybee here, defeats old Darwin all to pieces. You ought to read that thing. Kids, we'll get about 100 of them for these kids, you know, take out to schoolhouse. They all the stuff going out in California about evolution, whether it should be taught and that sort of stuff. That's just so much baloney. And so I believe that you need to discover some things. I need to discover the law is good and you ain't no good. I think also in the passage here, and I guess I better close, I got to talk to you about a couple of discoveries here, a couple of disappointments. That has to do with you doing the things that you should and shouldn't do. And don't doing what you should do, and performance is a problem. And you know, you always think I need to do it, and there's all kind of folks that say I go, and they do not. They say and do not, Jesus said. And they're hearers of the word, not doers only. And Jesus said it doesn't work out. So if there's a readiness to will, it's going, let's have performance out of it.